Read some books and get a little smarter, or maybe not, but still have some fun with us. Put down your TikTok, crack open a spine or two. Long-form discussions with Gabe, Matt, and Paul for you. Come put your feet up, sit down by the fire. Let's chill for a while. It's book time, let's talk about books.
What's up, everybody?
Hello.
Hey.
It's the Spine Crackers podcast. Back again. Let's play Hardball. You guys remember that shit, dude? Anyone ever watch Chris Matthews' Hardball?
I did.
Back in the day when he was on the news show?
Yeah.
What was the point of that show? Was he asking the hard questions?
Yeah, dude. Hardball.
Yeah.
That was back in the era when all the news shows were like, had those kind of names. Hardball.
Crossfire.
Fucking Crossfire. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to beat you.
Yeah. I'm going to beat you.
Anyway, this is the Spine Crackers podcast. We talk about books, and we're joined today by a special guest, a returning guest, friend of the show, architect and
licensed architect
and well-known booktuber. Do you post on Instagram?
Licensed to kill.
I mean, I do post on Instagram. I'm not very good about it.
It's Nate, everybody, from books you haven't read on YouTube.
Cue the theme music.
I was about to say books are better than food.
Dude, books are better than you haven't read. What's up, everyone? Yes. And by the way, I hope everyone, obviously this is great to reveal on a podcast, the most visual of mediums, but I am wearing my... for the occasion, my Texas Rangers World Series champions hat.
Go off. Let's go. Oh, nice. Rangers.
I understand you boys are not Rangers fans, and thus your team sucks this year. So
I was.
Aha.
I was a Rangers fan aha. for the purposes of the playoffs.
You are a dirty Yankees their fan.
Game. Wait, so did the Rangers win last year?
All of it.
Yeah. They did.
World Series.
Yeah.
So out of the loop. I like baseball, too. I just didn't pay attention.
Right?
No, I mean, they did beat Houston. They beat Arizona for the World Series. Houston was the tougher team.
Yeah.
I have no horse in this race.
Well, this will be fun.
Well, your baseball team sucks.
Matt doesn't.
So, ha ha. Ha ha.
Oh, you have a team that you say you're a fan of?
No, I'm kind of
a Knights fan.
I root for teams that have low budgets and suck. I always want them to win.
Like the Knights.
I'm a nice person.
Like
who are
the Knights? Yeah.
In the book, bro, that we're talking about.
Oh, I thought you meant real teams. Yeah.
They are a real team. They're the Knights. And then they're kind of a stand-in for, I think
it's got to be
the
Mets, right?
Well, no, because it takes place in like this book takes place in the 30s or 40s, right?
Oh, yeah.
Were they the Dodgers?
I think it's supposed to be the New York Giants. Like before they moved to San Francisco.
Right.
But it could also be the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Brooklyn Dodgers.
Nate, Paul was under the impression for some reason that you didn't like baseball.
Yeah, I thought you didn't like
How
baseball.
Dare you? No.
You do? I thought you liked basketball only.
He likes basketball also.
He just likes sports.
I like those two. Occasionally I like football, though. Also, what a book to be talking about the day before the Super Bowl.
I know, real, dude. This is fortuitous.
It doesn't matter. It's sports.
It's Matt's going to have his little anti-sport. I mean, yeah.
No, I'm not anti-sport. I just don't care. I don't begrudge anyone being passionate about it. I've never in any point in my life like followed any of that closely, which has like been a massacre for my ability to do small talk with anybody random.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that's I don't know. I feel like that's ungenerous to your average hog person. Not everyone only wants to talk about sports.
Well, the people that are hogs are much more likely to be sports fans.
No, it's a safe bet.
Speaking as a hog myself.
Yeah.
Literally, I did go to the University of Arkansas. Woo pig.
That's
Suey.
Fucking actually funny.
That's good.
go.
I am an average hog.
No, cool. Sports fans aren't hogs. I'm just saying it is one of the last like unifying
don't your coworkers listen to the show?
One does, but he's not. Oh, he's okay. No hog.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's
yeah,
not
we met him the other day. He's chill. What's
yeah,
up,
he's
Brian?
He's chill.
Brian, yeah. Hello.
I'll have to tell him. I don't think he's listened to like the last 8 episodes, but I'll tell him.
So, Nate, what are you what you been reading lately, man? Anything good besides this book?
Yeah, what did I mean, I read The Maniac by Benjamin Lapatut. I really liked that.
Did you read that, Matt? You read his other book, right?
I read both, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I talked about this. I talked about this in the Discord, which sign up for the Discord on Spinecrackers Patreon.
Thank you for promoting our Discord.
Spinecrackers.
Two bones a month.
It
was the book was called The Conspiracy by Israel Centeno.
Oh right.
And it was like it. The question was posed like, "What's a book that's like surprised you recently?" And that.
Yeah.
That was a really dope ass book. I'm actually going to be talking about it in my, you know, it's mid-February basically, but I finally got into my 2023 wrap-up video and we'll be posting that today or tomorrow when we're
nice.
So
that's books you haven't read.
Books you haven't read.
So you can't watch the channel if you've read any of the books that Nate talks about.
Yeah.
It's not for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What was the last book you came on for?
If on a
Calvino?
Winter's Night.
Yeah. That was cool.
I added another Calvino to the list this year.
Oh, which
yeah.
one?
The Baron in the Trees.
Oh yeah, I got a copy of that.
I read that one already. That one fucking rocks.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh really?
Cool. I love it.
I'm excited for it. I didn't know you read it already. Should I change?
Well, I'll read it again. It's a good book.
Cool.
Anyway, we're talking about a different fucking book today. Today on the Spinecrackers podcast, patreon.com/spinecrackers, youtube.com/spinecrackers, instagram.com/spinecrackers, twitter.com/spinecrackers, $2 a month on the Patreon. Hey, also gotta say, people, no one heeded my call, which I placed conspicuously at the beginning of the episode last time, to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Come on, guys.
That's because we're not that popular.
Come on, boomers.
Come on. I know. Apparently it's a thing. It's important. So come on. You know, help us out. Say great show, hot and sexy hosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please
and
say
guests.
That.
Well, you know, we're trying.
Oh, we're not trying.
we don't even have to try, dude.
Yeah.
It's just easy.
Sure.
Anyway, so we're talking about a book today, as already alluded to, about sports. And it is Bernard Malamud's 1952 debut novel, I believe, The Natural.
Yeah, Bernard Marmalade's all-natural sauce.
All-natural.
Yes.
I would buy that shit, dude.
Paddington Bear's favorite book.
This was my choice for a book.
It was your choice. Why did you pick this book?
I picked this book because Malamud is one of those guys, one of those authors who, you know, his name is around, but like I don't really see a lot of people like, you know, there's not a lot of Malamud heads. It seems like, you know what I mean?
Well, it doesn't
like,
really
doesn't
roll
necessarily
off the tongue,
have a lot of he doesn't have like a huge following, or I just don't see him talked about much in at least the literary circles of BookTube and you know Bookstagram and Book Twitter.
Is this his most famous book?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I know like The Assistant is pretty well known, and there's like maybe one or two others, but probably this.
Yeah, he's got some like award winners, at least according to my cover.
Yeah,
Pulitzer Prize winner and 2-time National Book Award winner.
Yeah.
He's a short story guy too. I have like the one thing I had always in the house was like this big ass collection of short stories by him that I've never opened as well.
So that's why I picked it. I just kind of wanted to see what
he's
all about
sports.
And I love sports and baseball. And maybe some of you out there have seen the movie, which I watched yesterday. Nate, you watched it today, right?
I literally just finished it less than 30 minutes ago.
and you other two have seen it, but not for a while.
Not for many years, yeah.
So we'll talk about the movie on the Patreon version or Patreon segment of the show, I think.
Hell yeah.
when we finish talking about the book. But yeah, so yeah, I just wanted to get a fucking vibe on Malamud and see what he's all about. And I figured start with this one. It's famous and it's his first book, so there you go. Bada bing, bada boom. That's why. Now the book follows the story of Roy Hobbs, who is a gifted baseball player from somewhere indeterminate, but the sticks, you know, the sort of proverbial American, you know, hidden gem sports star that we all dream about being and we think exists out there. And the book picks up with him on a train with his manager, Sam, to do a tryout for the Cubs. And he meets the whammer.
The whammer.
The whammer.
I don't like that.
Who is the sort of reigning MVP and superstar of baseball.
Obviously a Babe Ruth stand-in.
Obviously it's supposed to be Babe Ruth. Mm-hmm. One thing that they did well in the movie, I won't talk about the movie much, but the actor they picked to play the whammer, perfect.
Perfect Babe Ruth? I don't remember.
He looks like him. Yeah.
He looked just like Babe Ruth, and he had the
not a great swing, though, and he's right-handed. So,
well, everyone sucked at baseball back then. So that's the thing. You know?
Did Babe Ruth, are you saying Babe Ruth didn't have a great swing? Because he really didn't.
Nobody did. They all sucked.
Babe Ruth did.
Dude, I mean, he was chiefing a cigar. He would like drink a stout before getting up on.
He literally was taking fucking like bites of steak in between swings.
Yeah,
Funny? Gatorade, they just had whiskey in bottle.
You know what's funny is like we have this idea of Babe Ruth as this, you know, larger than life kind of fat ass that was great at baseball, but he was like 5'11", 180.
Really?
True.
Yeah, because. You know, it was back in like the 20s and 30s when people were just smaller.
And hey, they sucked at baseball. Like, let's keep it real. It's like anything. It's like chess, right? It's like, you know, some average like grandmaster chess player would like beat the absolute shit out of like most of the like great historical chess players. They just suck compared
yeah,
to
I think that's
what
true.
People are today.
I think that's a big argument in baseball about like that's a topic of like a concern for people. They're just like
Sandy Koufax
would
like
strike out everybody
in
now.
The first inning and then get pulled immediately.
They would get pooped,
bro. Whatever.
Babe Ruth
Sandy
would get
Koufax
struck
would be
out.
Great. Nolan Ryan would still be goaded.
Well, Nolan Ryan. Maybe.
Nolan Ryan.
That was much later. That was much later.
I mean, but Sandy Koufax was 60s. Nolan Ryan was 70s, 80s.
Mickey Mantle sucks.
Was Sandy Koufax the 60s? I guess he was earlier. I thought he was earlier.
Yeah, the 60s were his dominant run.
So whoever, fucking Walter Johnson. Or
Yogi Berra would have even
don't
made
talk,
the
don't
major
talk
leagues.
About the
Walter
the,
Johnson
the big
would
train
get fucking,
like that.
He would get fucking lit up by the worst team in baseball today.
Have you seen, has anyone seen, I think it was a Netflix documentary called Fastball, and they kind of went through... like the different eras of baseball and sort of the hardest throwers... Uh-huh. Like each era, and so they were like, okay, based on how they measured kind of, because like when we do it today, when you see on like baseball games and it says, you know, pitch was 97 miles per hour or whatever, they have like a whole array of like radar guns that are pointed basically right at the mound, and so mm-hmm. they're measuring the speed of the ball as it comes out of the pitcher's hand. But in days of yore, you could only like basically they measured the speed more toward like where it was caught.
Uh-huh. So that was dropped slower. In miles per hour. Yeah.
So it was slower when they kind of, and anyway, so I think I can't remember. I think Walter Johnson, like he was described, he was an early like 1910s, 1920s pitcher. And he was said to have the best fastball in the game. And I think he would have been throwing it like 90 miles per hour, which is pretty average for MLB today.
Yeah.
You know, one of the something about me, I used to play baseball and my highest clock was 91 miles an hour.
Oh, shit.
Nice ball. Not bad
for you, dude. Fastball.
Pretty good. I failed though. I didn't make it.
Shout out Tracy Chapman. She came back at the Grammys. I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
Big extra streams after the Grammys for Tracy Chapman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, huge Chapman.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the book takes place. It's never specified exactly, but it's like meant to be that kind of 20s, 30s. I think golden era of baseball. And so he's on the train. He meets the Whammer, and the Whammer, in his cockiness, I suppose. They get off for like some kind of, I don't know. They had to like stop for oil and shit on trains back then, I guess. I don't know.
I think the train broke down.
Okay, yeah, right, whatever.
And some and, the train that way.
They had to stop for steam.
And there's a carnival.
They had to boil some water. Look at the stupid 1930s losers.
Yeah. So there's a carnival, and they get off, and the Hobbs is
the carnival,
putting on a show, knocking down the milk bottles, the milk tin, the cans, whatever the fuck they were back then, and the Whammer, wanting to win, he's a winner. He challenges him to a pitch to a whatever, like he's gonna hit, and Hobbs is gonna pitch at him. Because also Hobbs is like, this is also back in the era where like everybody kind of played everything, every position, right? Like you were a pitcher and you would hit and fucking play in the field and all that.
Although Shohei Ohtani is changing the game back to,
the GO, dude. Yeah, real.
Shout out Shohei.
Yeah. Shout out. You're welcome on the show.
We respect,
anytime.
Now that he's not on the Angels and he's on the Dodgers, I can be a fan of his.
We tried to get him on the show, but he was a little busy, so we went with Nate instead.
The off season. Uh-huh. Yeah. What's he doing?
Hobbs strikes the Whammer out in the process.
With three pitches.
One of them goes so fast that his manager, Sam, playing catcher, gets bowled over by it, using a washboard to block his nuts and chest.
Chest protector. There's also a girl that, they're trying.
Yes.
Hobbs,
yeah, they're vying
for
the affections.
Trying to, yeah.
Of a mysterious girl named Harriet. Harriet Bird.
Yeah.
And so Hobbs wins. And
Hobbs wins the strikeout battle.
He wins the strikeout battle. They get on the train. Harriet Bird is now like, ooh, that's fucking hot. You beat him, dude. Fuck that other guy. You're the big winner.
You're the
Leviathan,
man.
Exactly. So then Sam dies, presumably with complications for being hit with such an enormously fast pitch by Roy Hobbs.
Yeah.
And then he's like, go get him, slugger Roy.
Win one for the Gipper.
Yep. They get to the hotel in Chicago, and Harriet is there, and she calls Roy. And he's like, oh, I'm about to get some. And so he goes to her room, and she fucking shoots him in the fucking stomach.
Yeah.
With a gun, which is crazy. Earlier, you wouldn't notice this except in hindsight. There was discussion on the train between the Whammer and a sports writer by the name of, what's his name?
Max Mercy.
And there's
Robert
apparently
Duvall.
Some crazy Robert Duvall in the movie, who is great. As Max Mercy, I think, in the film. He does a good job. There's a crazy serial killer going around shooting famous athletes, an Olympian, a football player, and this is Harriet Bird who kills or shoots Roy Hobbs. Story picks up 16 years later. Hobbs' career has been ruined. He's been bouncing around doing random shit, and he's back, and he gets scouted by someone for the New York Knights, who we were debating who that they would be. Probably the New York Giants or the Dodgers. Not Dodgers. Yeah, Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah, Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah. And they're down and out. And Hobbs is there to try out. He's not to try out. He's on the team. And the manager's Pop Fisher and his assistant Red. And they're not really into Hobbs because he's fucking old at this point. He's what, 35, 36?
35. He's done for.
So it's over, right? And anyway, the rest of the book is the story of Hobbs trying to save the Knights' season. There's a shadowy figure who owns the team named the Judge, who has ulterior motives, and he attempts to bribe Roy to throw the final game of the season for them to win the pennant, because the Judge wants to take over Pop's share of the team, so he wants them to lose. Yeah. That's the story.
Yeah. Nice introduction. All right. It was kind of long.
All right, good talk. Patreon.com.
Yeah, yeah. So if that sounds cool, you should read it. If not, then don't
If
buy
not,
it.
There's a lot more to it. There's usually more information in the book than just the introduction, so if you want to read it.
Yeah.
Well, it's you know, it's an Americana, classic Americana folktale of sorts, but like a dark one.
So as the British say, let's get stuck in here. What's the any thoughts?
Do they say that?
Yeah, let's get stuck into it. That means like let's talk about it.
They don't just say get into it.
Stuck in.
Let's tuck into our Gabe's conversations. Lying. Yeah.
Look by it the up. Way, stuck, not tuck, man.
What? Okay.
Why are we talking about British idioms? This is an American book.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's America. Yeah, let's get the British out of my baseball.
As the baseballers say, let's get into left field.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. So, yeah. Where should we start?
At the beginning.
Yeah, let's do it all over again. Do the intro again.
So the book's about this guy Roy Hobbs. The book picks up with him on a train.
I don't know. Wherever. Like,
I forgot how to do this.
Yeah, it seems like we all forgot. It's weird. Some sort of mood.
Okay, I mean, can I ask
Nate, take it away.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna ask. I feel like there's some relevant biographical information or relation that I want to make to Paul and his family member who wrote sports books.
Oh yeah,
because
famous grandpa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we dox you, Paul? Or
I think we've done it before.
I think
we
have done it before. Yeah.
Okay. So talking about Matt Christopher,
the famous adult sports writer or children's mm-hmm. sports writer.
Really children's. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw. Did everyone have the introduction by Kevin Baker in there?
I did. I didn't read it.
I love Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon wrote the introduction to this book. Okay, yeah, because he made the point, I think, in the introduction that like this was trying to, like, it's obviously not a children's book, but it was trying to kind of make use of that genre of like of like kind of pulpy kids sports books that, you know, take place over more or less kind of 1 year and follow the introduction. And so I read, like, that was obviously I didn't read whatever they were reading in the 30s or 50s or whatever, but like I read the 90s version of that, and that was like Matt Christopher, that was like
yeah,
the kid who only had homers.
The kid who I thought about homers, that book, dude. Because
classic.
Like
Roy Hobbs is basically the kid who only had homers. Yeah,
dude, he is. That kid gets like a bellyache. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, and or multiple belly aches, and like he can't play baseball, and that's immediately what I thought. Roy Hobbs gets a belly ache.
Well, and spoilers too, and the kid who only hit homers, the kid strikes out at the end.
Oh, the fuck, dude.
Yeah, I read this book and I was like, my grandpa fucking copied. He copied it so hard.
Yeah, I loved reading those books as a kid. Like, I don't know. There was this series called like the Angel Park All-Stars.
And it I didn't know that.
Like, yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know.
It was what was at the library.
Yeah, dude.
But like this, I think it should be said that there is that like sort of scintilla or shine of like that sort of specific genre from childhood mm-hmm. in this book. But it's also trying to be kind of much more serious too.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's quite like a satire, because like, at the end of this book, Hobbs, you know, he first accepts the bribe from the judge to throw the game. And that this is all obviously like sort of au courant with like things happening in the era, you know, the Black Sox scandal and all that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So this would have been something people were like aware of happening. So he accepts the bribe to throw the game. Then in the middle of the game changes his mind when he finds out this woman that he's been seeing, who he hits with a foul ball and injures.
Yeah.
Seriously. is pregnant with his child, and she says, like, let's, you know, oh, go out there and win for your boy. Mm-hmm. And he changes his mind and tries to win, and then strikes out anyway and loses, and then gets exposed by Max Mercy for having taken the bribe. And the implication at the end is that his whole career is going to be fucking erased and all of his records destroyed, and he's going to be shamed forever. So it's like, I wouldn't say it's like a satire per se, but it's like kind of like this like muckrakey, like expose the dark underbelly of, you know, this, the great American pastime type thing.
Yeah. And it's probably a little bit like taking from real scenarios, like the Black Sox being expelled.
Yeah, Shoeless Joe, baby.
Shoeless Joe. I just watched Field of Dreams the other night. Great,
great
movie.
Fucking movie.
Better movie than The Natural movie.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Much better.
Yeah.
I was reading that the shooting itself was inspired by real events, apparently.
Yeah.
There were
two
different either girlfriends or like one of them was like a straight up stalker of a guy on the Phillies. And he ended up like he got shot by her at one point, and then he still ended up like in the late 40s becoming an all-star like once or twice.
Damn.
So there's a lot of like sort of historical references or sort of like there's a lot of recycling of like real life stuff because the way it ends, I think there's a scene
where that's the kid's final,
like,
scene.
Yeah. Where he's like, say it ain't. Yeah. He says, say it ain't true, Roy. Like there's a famous real life scene where a kid goes, say it ain't so, Joe, to maybe it's apocryphal, but I choose to believe it's real. And that's obviously like directly mirroring that.
Where's that? What is that line from?
That's from real life.
Say that's it ain't just so, like a Joe. Scene?
No, that's like, supposedly that's a kid on the street said that to Joe Jackson when the cheating.
Yeah.
So this was this book made like kind of a splash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I can only like make it as akin to like Catcher in the Rye. Like it kind of scandalized people slightly. Like this dark and gritty sort of like something everyone knew but didn't speak aloud type situation. Like Catcher in the Rye, like teenagers cussing and having existential crises. Jerking off, getting mad at their roommate for leaving their toenail clippings on the floor.
I don't know where the ducks go in the winter.
Does Holden Caulfield jerk it?
No, he Holdens it. Yeah.
Holden Caulfield is no fact.
But like, so this was taking, like Nate was saying, like I guess, like a sort of innocent archetypal story of like you know, a hero's success in the wholesome American pastime of baseball, and just doing the dark, gritty version where it's like, this is the fucking reality of the situation. There's fixed games and bookies behind the scenes and, you know, moral compromise and that kind of thing.
Which is true. I mean,
of course. You know.
Shout out Tim Donaghy.
Hence the historical, right? Like corroborated backing of like the inspiration to all this stuff being like cobbled in.
And I could see how it could probably like be shocking to some people, or maybe just like a kind of a dour read at the time, because it's just like America's thing. Baseball is awesome. And then they read this book and they're like, fuck.
Yeah, I didn't want to know all that shit.
You know, the 1919 Black Sox scandal was pretty public. Like there was a whole trial and everything.
Of course.
So it's, you know.
Yeah, you're right. It was out there.
It was out there, but. It was certainly something that people considered to be of a bygone era.
It is awesome, though, that they were able to play baseball again as ghosts in Iowa in the 1980s.
Dude, I want to go to the fucking Field of Dreams so bad, dude. I always see signs for it when I'm driving around like that, like when I have to go.
How far away is it from you? It's got to be.
I think it's like an hour and hour 20, something like that.
Bro,
it's not far.
Come on.
Yeah, you got to go.
You've lived in that state how long?
I've been here like 5 years, 6 years.
Oh, God.
How many years have they been doing it? I thought.
Well, no, here's the thing. I was going to go. My wife and I, we were going to buy tickets and go because the Yankees were going to play there for an official game.
Yeah.
But it got canceled because of COVID. That was in like 2020.
That
game was amazing, too. I watched that game. Yankees, White Sox. And it was like one of the best games ever. It was like up and down, home runs, come back from behind. It was great. Should have been there. Just like you should have went to Hobbiton.
Yeah, I'm just taking L's. I was in New Zealand and I didn't go to Hobbiton.
In New Zealand?
I know. I know. Dude, it's far. It's far from Auckland. New Zealand's fucking big, dude.
Yeah.
No.
But it's far. It was expensive.
Probably.
I don't know. Maybe I'll go back. Anyway, so what did you all think? Did you guys like Roy? I think that would be another thing that was unique at the time, is that Roy kind of sucks, I think.
No, Roy's a stupid... Yeah, Roy sucks. He's a cuck.
So I think that was probably an element of... He's not a cuck.
Bro, he cucks...
If anything, he cucks Bump.
Yeah.
Bump.
I mean, he
there's a guy
he
named
cucks
Bump.
the dead carcass of
Matt,
Bump.
Matt hates all of 50s lingo. Like hitting fungos into the outfield.
Yeah. I couldn't, like, maybe it was like hip at the time, but like just reading, like, he smacked the pill and legged it to the bag, and I'm like, yeah. this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, don't. Well, I will say, just on the writing tip,
I can hear the Goodreads review now. I hate American history. 2 stars.
Well, like, not only that, but I will say, like, on the negative end, that some of the dialogue and spoken, like, lines in this book are very strange. They don't use any what's the word? He's like, it is not a, like, they use the full, I wish I underlined some of this stuff. Yeah, thank you. There's a weird lack of contractions in, like, random spots that make people seem like they're speaking very formally in a way that just feels more like Malamud than, like, the actual, I should have underlined some examples.
More like Data from Star Trek, because he can't speak in contractions.
Kind of, yeah. Like, there's a formal quality to some of these characters' speech patterns that are, like, you know, consistent among characters. So it's, like, clearly more the writer. It's like Malamud's tick, it seems, more than, like, a character tick.
Yeah, which
some of the dialogue is a little... I didn't really notice the lack of contractions part, but, yeah, I mean, some of it is, like, you know, like, I just randomly opened... to a page here, and this is when he's trying to get what's Bump's girlfriend's name? Memo. Hate that name.
Momo.
Also, yeah. Another stupid name.
Very.
Yeah, like, was anyone ever really named that? So yeah. So we should talk about this little subplot as well. So when Roy first joins the team, the big star who is also kind of a troll, and he's like throwing because the team sucks anyway, and he doesn't give a fuck.
Which is what you should do if your team sucks.
Yeah, just throw.
If you're the Shohei Ohtani of your team, you should just get to be whatever personality you want to be.
And just throw the
no
throw
responsibility
the
of leadership.
Troll the lobby.
Yeah, troll the lobby.
So Bump is trolling the lobby. He's just a big prankster. They're pranking Roy constantly at the beginning, fucking hazing his ass.
Well, yeah, the first prank is like, let's send him to my girlfriend, to Memo's hotel room.
Yeah, Bump's right. Like, what if he fucked my girlfriend?
That's like
and
the prank.
And he does.
He does, yeah.
Right. He accidentally, it's just literally like, she accidentally fucks him. And that's
she thinks
like
he's
huge,
Bump, yeah.
Because it's dark and Roy's in Bump's hotel room and they just fuck. And
impossible,
hilarious prank.
It's kind of impossible.
And then she's mad, like she turned on a light after all of that and was like, "Oh my god,
you're not my Bump.
So
you're not my Bump."
Fucking weird that is.
Yeah, right. It's like very
that's
silly.
That's crazy.
You're not what? Yeah.
It is kind of like a Three Stooges type scene, isn't it?
Yeah, except it's like sexual assault. Yeah.
It pretty much. I mean, listen, there's some questionable stuff in here.
Definitely. So anyway, yeah. Roy falls in love with Memo, who's also the manager Pop's niece.
Right.
Yeah.
Who Bump is dating. And then Bump, because Roy starts fucking popping off, Pop puts Roy in and Roy's just like carrying. He's just like deadlifting the team.
Yeah.
And he definitely gets a couple play of the games, Pot G, over the course of the book. Overwatch. And then And then he, you know, Bump starts trying harder, and he tries so hard he just runs into a wall and dies.
I remember my like audible response, because it's like he crashes into the wall at, like, an end of the chapter, so you flip the page, and like I don't remember what the line is, but I was just like, wait, he fucking dies?
No, I remember this exactly, dude. The beginning of the next chapter is like, I think it's just like after Bump died.
Yeah, or something. Yeah.
That's what happens when you're fucking silver one and you try and fight some diamond threes.
Yeah. He's trying to keep up with a diamond three. Yeah.
Bump just got hard diffed by Roy.
It was so, it's, there's so much like slapstick in this book.
Well, there's like, there's a couple other slapsticky deaths. Like, it, as soon as Roy gets there, they talk about like two people that left the roster. Like, one guy slipped on a bat and like got paralyzed or something.
Yeah.
And I forget the other one. Oh, one guy didn't one guy just get hit in the head with a fly ball, like he missed it and died?
Yeah, I think
by the way, like, I've seen happen to a guy before.
Did he die?
And it is. No,
you saw someone die?
No. I've seen a guy, like, I've seen a guy, like, basically catch a fly ball with his eye.
When I played baseball, I was a catcher sometimes, and one time a kid was coming home, and I was getting ready for the throw from the outfield. It was like a single to the outfield, and he was like on second, racing home, and I was getting ready for the ball, and I was gonna, like, you know, quick catch and tag. You got to do that.
Did he Ty Cobb you? Did he Ty Cobb your ass?
Dude, well, basically what happened is I missed the ball because I was trying to go too fast, and the ball hit me right here, right in my eye. And I still have a scar from the threads of the baseball under my eyebrow.
Dude, that's crazy. Badass.
Yeah, it was cool, but I cried.
That's awesome.
One time I was
Wait,
watching.
How old were you?
Oh yeah,
I was like 11.
Oh yeah, that's fine. That's a good age to cry.
Crying at any other age is that's the last time you're allowed to cry.
There's no crying in baseball though.
Right.
I when I was like 13, I was watching Jackass a lot. So I remember I was at some baseball game, and I put on one of the baseball helmets, and I asked someone to just hit me in the head with a bat.
No.
Who did you ask to do that?
I can't remember.
That's so... Yeah, probably because you got hit in the fucking head with a bat.
Well, I blacked out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I blacked out.
That's
insane. And I was
insane,
like, oh, it's so funny,
man,
afterwards. And then I, you know, it's just the dumbest thing ever. But
and
I was
you
like,
didn't even film it. Imagine.
Dude, yeah, not even like
you
a
You didn't
phone.
Even make content out of it.
There was no content.
Idiot.
That could still be trending now on YouTube.
Seriously.
I know, you're right. Such an idiot.
I'm such an idiot.
So stupid. So anyway, I forgot why I brought that Bump dying up. Well, I mean, even Sam's death is kind of weird. He just gets hit with a fast ball.
Yeah, yeah. People just die from baseball. I think
maybe
it's partially
it
like
ruptured his fucking liver. Sam's also
I think
fucking
it
drunk.
Relates to Malama trying to, like, there's a little bit of like making it gritty by not just by like the actions of the characters, but by the deaths too. And it's a little bit eye-rolly and cringe.
A little too much, perhaps.
A little too much.
Or it was far-seeing in the, like, sports take a toll, you know? Like,
pre-CTE
and all that stuff.
Dude.
Yeah.
Right, but no one gets CTE in this book. They just die.
No, they just die.
They just die.
They run into a wall, and then they get a fever for some reason, and they're dead.
Or they just eat so much that they get a bellyache, and they can't play baseball
that
next
that
day.
That was so strange. Well, like,
that's like one of the main climaxes of the book is that, like, bellyache. Roy's just like, I'm so fucking hungry.
It was weird. It did feel like the guy, or it did feel like the lady from Silent Cry. Right? Like the insatiable, the weird appetite.
The villager
that he,
lady.
Yeah.
Hungry ghosts.
Well, I was wondering why, because I was noting for a while that Roy was logging in a lot of steak dinners.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, he's eating a lot of steak. They keep mentioning going to steak joints and chop houses and eating steak.
He's a steak man. Like, he's a Babe Ruth type.
Peter Luger.
Yeah, he's a steak man, just red in the face, high blood pressure.
Yeah.
So I was
Liver
just,
King. Roy Hobbs, the original Liver
just,
King.
You can see him looking like Liver King. So I was wondering
if they remake
if any...
they should have Liver King play Roy Hobbs.
Dude, that would be so good.
How are they going to make him look 19?
Yeah. They have that cool Deep the fake. Irishman de-aging technology.
Yeah, right,
smooth
right,
and
right,
fucked
right.
up looking. But I was wondering if there like it ended up there being a point to that, I guess, right? With the like he does have his disability or like the thing that stops him from ultimately being able to play anymore is what, high blood pressure?
Yeah, pretty much. He's just right? eating he's just eating too much. He's going to fucking like rupture his stomach.
Yeah, red meat.
I mean, I mean,
well,
I
maybe it's about American
question.
Consumption.
Yeah, I mean kind of. I thought maybe. It was sort of yeah. like a reflection of Hobbes's, you know, like insatiable appetite for being the best, right? Like he just wants to
he
be
needs
his
to
whole
be the
thing
Leviathan.
Is, I want to be the fucking goat.
Hobbes,
right. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay hungry, right?
Stay like, hungry, stay yeah. humble, dude. John Calipari. Yeah. I don't know. That's kind of how I took it. Is like he's Hobbes as a character is like essentially like empty. He doesn't have even to the reader, right? Like everyone, you know, Max Mercy, who comes back later when he gets famous and doesn't remember him from the Whammer incident. Right. He's like, dude, I feel like I fucking know this guy, but like, there's no information about him out there. No one even knows where he's fucking from. And I feel
and
like
he's
kind of
like famously reticent about, everything.
Right. Yeah, he's like the hollow man.
The only thing I owe the public is a good game of baseball or something like that, he says at one point, right? But he's like that for the reader too, right? He's just like empty other than this just drive to fucking win baseball.
You know what he kind of reminded me of? He reminded me of the chess world champion in the chess book,
chess story.
A chess story. Mm-hmm. Just
yeah,
like
I can see that.
Just like the other side of the coin, just like empty-headed, but very
just autistically good at something.
Yeah, and like the only aspect of their life is to like be the best. But it's also like from an American point of view. In the chess story, it's I forget where he's from. Is he Russian?
German?
I don't think he's German. He's like Russian or Eastern European or something, I think.
But it was just like two different takes, and I think that
is he German? He might be German.
I thought he was Russian.
I don't remember. Doesn't matter.
But I don't know. I was having some sort of thought about that, like Hobbes being like the quintessential American, just like trying to consume.
Like he literally embodies like the American drive.
The American drive. Yeah.
That's just appetites. It's like food, glory, and then like sexual appetites.
A little bit getting his dick wet.
Yeah. Roy is very horny.
He is horny.
Yeah, because, you know, the fall is all precipitated by basically women.
Yeah, yeah. He's a gooner.
He's not
They're
a
all
gooner.
Sirens.
I guess he's not a gooner.
And he is Odysseus, brave Odysseus, trying to. Right. Like, there were, because Harriet Byrd, the woman that, like, shoots him, she, like, brings up Homer kind of early on. And it's like, they're obvious, like, you know, it's trying to intone like a mythological sort of, I don't know, just, I don't know, mythological overtones about like, you know, this is like kind of an American mythology story.
Right.
And so like, I think we were talking about the deaths earlier, like why does somebody die? Like that sort of, I don't know, plays up the dangerous and the treacherousness of trying to like fulfill the dream of being a hero or whatever in American society.
And so he's necessarily kind of a cipher because you don't want too many particularities to like cloud people's ability to like project into him or something like that as well.
I could see that for sure. And but of course the whole point is that like, there is no such thing as like like pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, right? Like there's, you can never get where you want to go just on like ambition and even skill together alone, right? Because there are forces more powerful that are going to thwart you. Like in this case, the judge, right? And you know,
Gus,
the bookie who will, yeah, we should talk about Gus. And then just like the bad luck of women, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the, I mean, Pop at one point specifically says like, don't fuck around with Memo. She's bad luck.
Yeah. She's messy.
Sure enough, he goes into a slump immediately after he starts dating her.
Because his vital essence.
And then he breaks out of the slump when another woman stands up in the stands to give him her POE, dude. Purity of
essence. She stood up, his dick stood up, and he hit a home run.
And he hit a homer.
Yeah.
I mean, right? There are the impotence sort of like analogs with the bat and all that shit. Like
Wonder Boy. We didn't talk about his stupid bat, Wonder Boy, that he buries.
Wonder Boy.
He, the background is like, the lightning strikes a tree when he's like a kid on his farm.
Oh, and yeah. I remember that from the movie now.
And they like make a bat out of it. And it's like, oh, so you use the same bat from when you were like 13 years old.
Yeah. When you were 13,
that shit
must have
been way too
big
for him when he first started using it.
Bro, he must have sucked those first few years.
Yeah, he couldn't even lift it. That's why they need the Liver King, because the Liver King was probably strong when he was 10.
No, the Liver King was 100% some like nebbishy, dweeb.
Turbo soy.
Yeah. But that's another
CIA
like very
is behind Liver King probably.
Yeah, I don't know. I won't write it off. Yeah, another mythological moment, right? Another like I don't know, like Zeus struck down a tree and like,
yeah, it's like Samson's hair, right? Like the Wonder Boy.
Yeah, there's a little bit of what's the guy who built the railway really quick. John Bunyan, or what's his name?
John
Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan.
John Henry.
We got there.
We got there.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of like strongman, like of the woods, of the sticks, making it
with like no past, who just kind of appears, right? Like fully formed from the head of Cronus.
Right. Or Zeus.
Well, Zeus was born on the head of Cronus, right? He was one of the Titans.
Yeah. Out of the head of
And I think again there's that sort of the mythological, just like person without a past, without a history. But there's a lot of it. I mean, I thought some of the best passages from a writing perspective were Hot Roy's like kind of dreamy, kind of like flashback sequences. Where he's like dreaming of like he's constantly haunted by these visions of like being on a journey and like never getting where he's trying to go, right?
Yeah, being on the train.
Yeah.
And there's no real like decent sense of place in the whole novel. It's like it's supposed to take place in New York City. I don't think I once felt the presence of the city in any real way.
At the baseball park. No time to get out in the city.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're right though, Matt. Like I felt like I was in the Midwest the whole time.
Yeah, I was kind of like on that train. Like I feel like in the descriptions of the train early on, I don't know if there's a specific reference to just that, like, or like when you're on a long car ride and everything's just kind of at night and everything's a void.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what the world felt like in the book. It was just like, you know.
I remember like being kind of totally lost in terms of place, and then like Sam or one of the coaches mentions like up in Brooklyn, and I was like, that's where we're supposed to be,
right? Yeah. It's like, right, okay.
Oh yeah, so there's like people and cities and cars around. Okay.
Yeah, I had to like reimagine the entire world for myself perpetually.
Mm-hmm.
But like, high rises.
I wonder if that's not sort of like a intentional choice, you know, I mean, because it's like he's describing this kind of like itinerant lifestyle for the baseball players, which essentially is just like a series of like more or less faceless like hotel rooms and lobbies, and you know, I'm in Philadelphia, but I'm not really like
chop houses,
like I'm here, Outback, but I'm not really here, right?
I mean, the everywhereness of all of this that feels
right.
So sort of like the life of a stand-up comedian, you know?
Right, yeah. Another American folk hero.
Yeah.
But so I don't know if that's necessarily like a point against the book per se.
I wasn't but saying
even,
that.
Even
I was,
with the
I was
girl
saying
like
it
Iris standing up when he's at bat and him getting a boner, I was like, "There's if this was supposed to be like a, what Luis like the Dodger, like if it was supposed to be in Major League Stadium, it's like there's a lot of people there. He just sees one woman stand up and he's like, you know, there's people standing up all the time and getting down.
Well, but she's wearing white.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. It's like a huge stadium. It's like 50,000
people.
She
looks like an angel. And
she's
just struck by
angel.
Her beauty.
She's like
dude.
Mercy from Overwatch swooping in.
Yeah,
for
she
rest.
Is like Mercy. Oh my God.
He's trying to steer around the rocks of the siren, man.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Help but notice her.
She pops Valk and hits the res.
You're ruining
so
it.
Many of our freaking listeners, Matt.
Sorry.
Yeah, so the two female choices for Roy Hobbs's romantic endeavors are kind of like the very rough hewn. What do you what?
Nothing.
Are you still thinking about Mercy?
No. Nothing. I'll say it in a second. I mean, it's about this topic.
Oh, the ladies?
Yeah.
Well, Harry was kind of like Widowmaker. Is that what you're saying?
No, but that's fucking true.
Yeah. And Iris is a little bit like May. Sorry, Nate. Sorry.
Yeah, Nate has no idea what we're talking
Nate's
about.
Just like, shut up.
Yeah.
I have a real life. I play actual softball in my free time, not like these nerds.
That's cool.
So, but we suck, so.
That's all right. At least
you're
moving your
body. You need a Roy Hobbs, dude.
Yeah. Be the Roy Hobbs you want to see in the world. He's got like a really like obvious, like dichotomous, like female choice to make.
Right.
Right, where it's like the path he could have taken is Iris, but he's like...
No, Iris is the one, is the woman who's... You mean Memo?
Oh, no. Memo's the evil one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Memo's the one
sorry.
Who he ends up falling for because she's more like, you know, I don't know, conventionally attractive and like...
And she plays hard to get for a while, right?
Yeah, he loves the chase.
She's like morning bump and he's like, he gets off on the cuckoldry.
There was a really... There was a really good passage that I liked. It was maybe like the only one that stuck with me where he's talking about like his chase for Memo.
Yeah.
And he's talking about like he's not sure if he would even be interested in her if she wasn't interested in him. And it just kind of like cycled in on itself to where he just accepted the fact that he is into her.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like a who's on first type. I don't know if you guys remember that, but it was.
Yeah,
oh, bro. Not only do I remember that
you could
was
recite
like,
the whole thing.
I literally like did that for like a fifth grade talent show.
That's awesome.
Did not win. Completely disrespected.
Could you do it again for the Patreon segment tonight?
No, not for all right, memory.
No pressure. I won't pressure you. Like that.
Yeah, just. Think
I mean,
about it.
I could lie and say I'm doing it from memory and just like you know bring the script,
read it off a prompt.
I was cracking up earlier because I was just thinking about how Roy kind of sucks. And I just remember finding it so funny that, you know, Iris is like, this is awesome. And he can actually connect to her a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
Like she's the first person in what I think is actually a pretty good scene where they're hanging out on the beach and they go skinny dipping and whatnot. And he finally tells her about Harriet being shot by Harriet because no one knows about that until Max Mercy ultimately finds out about it later with his muckraking journalism. But anyway,
good gumshoe investigation. What I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but I just thought it was so funny that the reason essentially that he ultimately rejects Iris is that she has grandkids and he thinks that's gross.
Well, you're 33 and have grandkids. Gross.
He's like, oh my god, you floozy whore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to. I'm not a grandpa.
Because she like literally doesn't represent the thing that like Memo does, the sort of I don't know status piece that Memo is.
Right.
And he's like, well, no, this is Memo's the type of girl a ball player gets, and I gotta go after what a ball player
once. And I'm a great ball player.
It's that. It's just that kind of like that's that image of self that's like shattered for him a little bit by this idea of being with a woman who has grandchildren. And then later I was like, oh man, maybe he will go for Iris. He like reads a letter and she mentions her grandkids and he just throws it away in disgust.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, I forgot about that. Like,
oh yeah, she's so great. She's so great. Oh yeah, grandkids, fuck.
Which is obviously, I mean, yeah, not the best. I mean, you know, you could say that it's like not the best sort of depiction of women. And ultimately, the women in the novel are essentially reduced to like good or bad luck charms
right.
for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which sucks. But it also reflects so poorly on Roy as a character, right? Like, if anything, it's more of a critique of him than anything else.
Well, he pays for it. Like, that's the whole...
Right.
Like, he just gets completely fucked over by the end. So he's, you know, it's got the moral kind of comeuppance about those choices at the very least.
And I think the other thing he likes about Memo is that there's the other element of cuckoldry where he thinks she might be fucking Daddy Gus.
Right. There's a sugar daddy.
Her like rich kind of sugar daddy bookie with a glass eye.
He's cool.
He is fucking cool. He's a cool character.
I mean, I just like thinking about what he was like because he was like older. He had a glass eye. He dragged himself. There's also the implication that the judge was like possibly bros with Gus when he was like not barred or whatever. Like what it seems like there was some maybe indication that he got mafia style help in his rise to like being able to work in the legal system for them essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge is cool too. The judge is like this essentially like devil figure that
shrouded in shadow and smoke.
Kind of got that McCarthy thing going, right? Like a judge who is essentially the embodiment of evil.
Bro, he is not as cool as the judge.
No, I'm not suggesting.
What book is
he
judging?
Poops his pants at the end.
Oh yeah, he poops his pants. Yeah. That was awesome.
That was great. Dude.
That was so slapstick. Himself. He just like poops his pants.
He gets hit so hard Stooges he poops himself. Because he's so sinister. He's like this. Like he's all in black and he's like cigar smoke. And then he just gets punched once. He's like ah.
What a freaking way to end the book, right?
Yeah, that was near the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one like satisfying act of violence you finally get to like see.
Yeah. Well, and fucking Memo almost kills him. She almost shoots him again with mm-hmm. the judge's little pistol.
Yeah.
After, because doesn't he also punch Gus?
Oh, he gets them all.
Yeah, Gus is in the office too in that scene.
He really socks him good.
Yeah. The whammer.
He clobbered them.
Yeah, he became the whammer and clobbered them.
Played in the movie by the excellent Darren McGavin.
Nice.
The dad from A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Good. Yep. One of my favorite movies. Yeah, Gus is an interesting character. And then I also was laughing about like in that scene when he meets Gus the first time in the steak club. Where Gus bets him $100. He knows exactly how much money he has on him, right? And gets it. And then he just starts doing magic.
He owns him with like a plus magic.
Roy just starts doing magic. And then like at a later time, he like fakes being a waiter and does like magic, like spills everything all over the sports writer.
Yeah, what the hell?
And it's like Memo's like, where'd you learn how to do magic? And he's just like, just around.
Yeah.
Pick it up here and there.
Don't worry about
like,
it, babe.
What the fuck was that?
It's a little bit of a Mary Sue moment, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's also trying to consume Bump. And he's like bringing Bump energy to live in his skin.
True, because Bump is the prankster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Memo loved Bump.
Memo loved Bump. She holds off on Roy for a long time.
Well, she never truly. I mean, do you think she liked Roy for real?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if she ever really did or if she just kind of like was worn down.
Yeah. I think she was, I don't think she ever did. Didn't she, at the end, didn't she say like, you killed my bump and I've always hated you.
Yes, she does say that.
But I think she's probably like Roy in that she wants to be with the great baseball player. Mm. And so like, that's who, you know, like Roy Hobbs is statistically like that guy.
Yeah.
He's him.
So Roy Hobbs is him. And
Roy Hims.
The underwear brand.
Oh yeah. Is that an underwear brand or is that
Hims?
Like a
that's
Viagra, isn't
Matt,
it?
Matt, it's not a joke, dude. It's mental health for men. It's serious.
Hims?
Penis don't work. Bro. Sad.
Hims, if you want to sponsor the Spine Crackers podcast, get in two bones a month. Hims,
well,
that's all it takes. Get in the Discord.
We don't need your fucking products because we're well adjusted and sexy. But for all the losers out there who do, I'm joking. Anyway, what were you gonna say, Nate?
Shit, I forget. I mean, I said the thing about Memo that she's like. No, I think
she's
all
like,
I had to say.
She floats on the breeze of like whatever is like.
Your mic's, you sound like you're in a huge warehouse again.
Yeah, your mic went out.
I thought the screen just said that it's recording at a higher quality, though.
Okay, yeah, sorry. We probably just do it.
No,
anything.
Hold on.
We don't need to.
You keep talking. I'm going to fix something.
Well, I was going to say, I do think Memo is, like, interesting. She is involved in what I think is my favorite scene in the book, which is where they're coming back from like their date. I forget where they go, like Long Island or some shit. And she's like, she insists on driving the car back, and she's like speeding like crazily, and like
Great Gatsby,
like seemingly like disassociating.
Ah, I'm glad you said that because I had some Great Gatsby vibes, but keep going, Gabe.
No, yeah, I want to hear that, and then. They hit something like they're like she's both her
right.
and Roy are paranoid that they're being followed by like either police or like spies for the judge or Gus. And she hits something and like Roy starts spiraling, thinking it's like some kid or something. I thought that was a really, really good scene.
They should have played
that
up.
Not in the fucking movie, by the way. Never mind. We'll talk about the movie.
It is not in the movie.
Movie, yeah, Patreon only.
Yeah. So I love that scene. And it was like it was just an interesting insight a little bit into Memo's own kind of like headspace, because she's just like dissociating, gotta go fast, like I'm fucking just it secretly petrified all the time inside, and I have to feel something. So I'm driving really fast and I might kill somebody, including
yeah,
myself,
yeah.
And I don't fucking care. It is Great Gatsby vibes, yeah.
Totally Great Gatsby vibes, yeah. And it relates to my belief in the very, like, road psychology and how people drive is related to their psychology, for sure. But, yeah, it's a good point, Gabe. It's just, like, she was freaking out, and it was, like, the only emotional outlet for her, or mm-hmm. an emotional outlet for her in that moment is just, like, speed.
My mic switched to my computer mic. Sorry.
It's fine. We can hear you.
That's okay.
Sounds bad.
Yeah. And I don't know if I feel like the recording got all screwed up, but maybe it didn't. So just go with it. Yeah.
Now we can't hear you at all.
Now we can't hear you at all.
I think you're muted. You're muted.
What is going on? Sorry.
Yep. Can't hear you.
There you go.
There you go.
I kind of forget what I was talking about, trying to solve these audio issues.
Memo?
Oh, just that she was like on the winds of whatever was also going to bring her success. Like, she was very much like, the second anything is going bad, it's also bad for her. And there's just no, like, she's like, oh, I need money, so you got to bring in money. And then the second Roy Hobbs got hospitalized, she was like, time to, you know, go to plan B, Gus, you know, the sugar daddy. And I'll facilitate this, you know, this bribery deal and just go with that instead, because at the end of the day, I just need cold hard cash.
Yeah. Stack yeah. paper.
I think, Nate, I think you said that, but it's a good point that, like, Hobbs and her are kind of, like, perfect reflections of each other, because they both have, like, no real foundation to their character except for, like, the drive and the ambition to be...
Just appetites.
Just appetites. Rich, you know, the most famous. She wants to be the most, like, the wife of the most famous ball player. Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm just taking it all in, man. Well, we're nearing an hour, probably a little bit over, I think, actually, which means it's time to start wrapping up before we go to the Patreon-only segment, patreon.com/spinecrackers. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. $2 a month, up to 100. If you want to do $100 a month, that's totally fine. We can do that.
We're open.
Just FYI for everybody out there.
Yeah.
So more to talk about it in the Patreon, including the movie. But before that,
no one has one.
You're a natural, Harry.
It's right there. It's right there.
There it is. So if you're new to the show, this is the segment. We literally just read another book, which means we have full license, and this is legal, to talk about Harry Potter now.
I know.
So I know. It's what we've all been waiting for the whole fucking time. And we take the characters from the book we just read and sort them. This is the sorting hat ceremony, and put them in their Harry Potter houses. So, a lot of characters in this book. Obviously, I don't think we have to do all of them, but I think we have enough data to do our scientific sorting process with a number of these characters. So let's start. Why don't we start with, I don't know, who should we start with?
Pop. We didn't really talk about
Max Mercy.
We didn't talk about Pop. Maybe we should talk about Pop more in the Patreon segment, because I do love Pop.
He's one of my favorite characters.
Pop should have been a farmer.
Corn Pop.
He should have been a farmer, baby.
Corn Pop.
Do you want to sort him?
I think Pop is... let's sort Pop.
He seems Hufflepuff. Yeah, like he's just dedicated to like this team that's making his hands burst out into rashes and... I don't know. It's just that he's pure dedication to what he's signed up to be, you know, the leader of. And so
he does it all for his city. Yeah, he's like Drake.
Big ass dick.
That's the first thing that comes to your head when I say Drake.
And I looked at it, obviously. I'm going Puff with him.
Yeah, he puts on for his city, and he
just wants to win
He doesn't even want to win the ship, though. He just wants the pennant.
Yeah, it's true. The pennant was a big deal back then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they're gonna lose to the Yankees. Is the implication?
Yeah, they knew they were gonna get.
It's like even in fiction, it's like, well, come on, you're not beating the Yankees in the 1950s in the World Series. Idiots.
Real. They were just playing in the fucking...
Roy Hobbs is amazing. He's not fucking Mickey Mantle.
Exactly. He's second string. Yeah, all right. So I think he's Puff. What about...
Yeah, he's Puff.
What about... should we do Bump? He dies.
Yeah.
Bump.
Okay, so which is the most... Which house dies the most in Harry Potter?
Probably also Hufflepuff. Oh, Griff?
Probably.
Yeah, but
I feel
they
like Gryffindors die because they're brave. But he's not fucking great.
Is he not? Griffs can be evil. Griffs can be bad.
I don't know. He could be.
No, I don't think Bump is evil. He's just.
I mean, he's got a little Cedric Diggory in him. Just saying.
Yeah.
Well, he's
true.
A Hufflepuff. Cedric Diggory's
Hufflepuff. That's true. Maybe he is Puff. I don't know.
Well. Yeah.
He's a bit of a jokester. He has fun.
Yeah, Cedric Diggory is a little too stoic and
Yeah, he's kind of a Boy Scout, isn't he?
But Bump is not loyal. He doesn't give a... His idea of a fun joke is having his girlfriend secretly have sex with somebody else.
Yeah, cucking him
facilitating
himself.
A sexual assault.
This would be a great joke.
Rape is a prank.
But as a bit.
Dude, it was ironic.
It's rape.
Dude, remember that time?
I wasn't jerking off in my hotel room the whole time I knew it was going on. It's ironic. It's a bit. It's fine.
Dude.
Cucking yourself as a bit.
Dude, I pranked you. I sent you to the whole hotel room my girlfriend's at.
Dude, I pranked you.
Dude, I fucking got you, dude. I got you. You fucked my girlfriend. Ha! I got you, bro.
She's so mad at you and me. It's so funny. That is crazy. Fucking what was he doing? Maybe he's Slytherin. He's like Joker. He's like... Yeah,
he's Joker-fied. That is super fucking.
He just dies smacking into a wall. That guy is chaos.
Dude, he's like Jeeves the Poltergeist. That's who he is.
Yeah, he's a Moaning Myrtle class of
yeah.
So how about let's do Harriet Slytherin or Squib?
Crazy Squib.
Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw.
Oh, she does have knowledge.
Yeah, maybe bookish. Ravenclaw, psycho claw.
She knows about books, and you know that makes Roy feel stupid.
Psycho claw. Yeah, I like that.
I like psycho claw. That's a good.
So
term.
Memo is Slytherin.
Memo.
She is absolutely self-serving.
Yeah, definitely Slytherin. Obsessed with status.
Status, money. I mean, I think we have to just say it. Roy is also Slytherin.
Yeah,
easily.
Oh yeah.
Since they have established their mirrors of each other.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Harry Potter mirrors. You could probably do magic.
Yeah. Well,
What's that mirror called in Harry Potter?
The mirror, the...
mirrors.
The mirror of requirement. No,
the room of requirement.
What is it called?
Mirror on
Harry
the wall.
Potter. The Mirror of Erised.
What? That sounds like Lord of the Rings.
Erised.
It's fucking Harry Potter wiki, dude.
Yeah,
it's right here. I'm looking.
Harry
at
Potter
it.
Was never influenced by Lord of the
never,
Rings.
Never, dude. It's in a vacuum.
Is that all the main characters?
Roy? No. Well, obviously, we did Roy. But
we did Roy. Did we do Max Mercy?
Max Mercy, no. But we didn't talk about him much either. We should talk
it
about
seems
him
like
on Patreon.
Well, he's a journalist,
Iris.
So he's a
Iris.
Hero.
He's a journalist.
So, Griff, easy.
The highest of Gryffindors.
He is a hero.
True.
Fifth
true.
State.
True. Iris, also Gryffindor. Feminism. I love feminism. She's living her life as a single mother and grandmother, and she's just out there killing it. So, Griff. And she
takes a
genuine.
Day off work to come see
that's right.
Roy and stand up for him.
And then she gets fucking domed by his fast
and she's
by
pregnant.
His foul ball. And she's pregnant.
Which is gross.
Ew, dude. He's going to have another daughter.
Yeah. I can't stand it.
And then he's going to be double grandma.
This kid's going to be a fucking uncle when he's born already.
Dude, my. Yeah.
Fucking gross.
Elderly
dude.
People. Ew.
Floozy. That's it. Judge? Slytherin.
Yeah, Slytherin.
All right, well, that's only one thing left to do, I think, at this point.
Wait, did you guys not have words?
Oh, I have a word. Yeah, you're right.
I wrote one word down. I bet it's gonna be what the word you
so picked. This is a segment that I bet we have the same one. This is a segment that usually only about one or two of us do, because
I didn't forget. I couldn't find a word time.
And
yeah, I forgot.
This is a word from the book that we didn't know before or thought was interesting. So, Nate, as the guest, take it away.
Oh, geez. So my word is ptomaine, spelled ptomaine. And I don't remember the context of it. I literally just like wrote the word at the back of the book.
It's something that I think it smells. It's like the chemical compound that makes like rotting flesh smell really bad.
There you go.
And it's, cool. I think in this context, it was it can sometimes be involved in food poisoning. So this was after just describing Roy's stomach ache after he eats like fucking 10 cows worth of steaks at the party.
And shrimp and stuff.
And shrimp.
He picked out which cow he wanted dead, and he was like, I want that one to give me a bellyache.
Fucking thing.
That was like literally the only like weird word I noticed.
I didn't find one. Yeah. I'm being honest.
I didn't. It's not that I didn't find one. I forgot to look. So that's my.
Did you know Tomaine, Matt? Fucking nerd. Okay. So
Matt, did you know what fungo means?
Fungo.
Because it's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh shit! No.
Fungo means.
Fungo is like a particular bat that is like usually corked and small and has a smaller barrel. And it's used for hitting fly balls and ground balls.
Okay, that's my word.
Practice.
I chose it. Yeah.
Okay. Now you know. If you don't know, now you know.
Back in the day, I used to love playing fungo golf.
What's that?
It's where you just take a baseball and a fungo bat and you get a couple buddies. And we, like our sports complex was like, or our fields, like it was a football field. But then at the ends, far, far ends of it, you know, there were baseball fields and a softball field. So it was like a pretty big. So you just say, okay, let's do a par four to the softball backstop. You just play golf.
You just throw the ball up and hit it.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Bro, so much fun.
That sounds fun.
Cool.
Did you ever hit any cars or anything?
Well, no. We weren't in a parking lot.
Oh, I wasn't sure if there. I mean, usually it's parking lots close by.
Yeah, if you're really hitting a car.
There were fences separating it, and we were good kids, and we wouldn't hit toward cars. How about that?
Nice.
Better man than I.
That's cool, man.
Just good citizens of the world.
Strong morality.
I did actually. No, I did break a light bulb on the scoreboard once, though. So,
dude, you're like Roy Hobbs.
Yeah,
I am fucking, like Roy Hobbs.
Yeah, that's crazy. You just hit it so hard.
But it was like literally we were like, oh, let's do it to the scoreboard. And then I was the first one to like
hole in one
it wasn't a hole in one. It wasn't a hole in one, but I was like the first one to get it. And everyone else was like, hey, maybe you should like, you know, aim for the bars down low. Like, don't aim for the actual scoreboard. I was like, nah, I want to hit the actual scoreboard.
Yeah. You fucking hit a dinger, dude.
Yeah. But it was the softball scoreboard and. Like, we didn't have a softball team after my junior year. So, who cares?
What I give a shit about is finding out how you guys would rate this book. So, if you are new to the show, and just as a reminder to Nate, we have a 1 to 5, a 0 to 5 scale. And 5 means this is a before and after book. Your life has been changed for the better by reading this book. And this is a milestone in your reading life.
This is like a Roy Hobbs home run.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. 4 to 5 is a very good, memorable book, exceptional book. 3 to 4, better than average, good book, liked it. 2 to 3, average to below average. 1 to 2, pretty bad. 0 to 1, very bad. Your life is worse for having read this book, and you wish you didn't know that it existed. Anything in that range. So I get to go last. Well, Nate
gets to go.
But I get to go last out of us because it's my book.
I'll go first.
All
right. I didn't love this book. I found it okay. It's going to be a middle of the road score, like a C-, C+ for me. So you can translate that on the scale if you want.
Say the numbers.
Let's say 45%.
A C is a 70%, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, just do the medium
conversion
of those.
That's metric. He was talking metric.
Yeah, the metric scale. But yeah, I didn't love it. Like Nate was talking a lot about the drawbacks to Homer that I can see in retrospect, but I don't think it like really hit me over the head as like a lasting American folktale. It was really trying to like you know, take apart like the seedy underbelly of baseball, and in doing so, it kind of depict women poorly. I think the female characters were very shallow and kind of just like it was a bad depiction of women. Let's be real. It's like they were all bad.
Well, that's because evil. They're obstacles.
No, Iris wasn't bad.
Yeah right, but even obstacles. Iris was just like a little shallow. Just yeah. You know, it was only
dude,
from
she's
like
she's the only good one, and Roy.
I
hates
think
her.
He was trying. He was trying. You know, yeah. She had grandkids trying to show some reality.
Is this my turn to talk, or is it your turn?
Sorry,
to talk?
Sorry.
Is this my review, or is it your review?
No, you're right.
But yeah, it was kind of like a forgettable book for me, and I'm gonna give it a C minus.
I hate this.
Paul, well, you have to give us
the given rules. 2.3.
2.3.
Okay, wow. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to give it a 3.3.
Nice.
Life not worse. Like, I thought in a generally enjoyable reading experience, I thought the ending kind of pulled it out of mediocrity a bit. I enjoyed the, like, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't, I guess, situation Roy found himself in at the end. You know, I coming mm-hmm. from somebody who doesn't watch sports, there was no, like, innate love of baseball or anything like that that, like, really, like, made me excited to read it. But, yeah, it's just a solid story about a guy who is seeking to fulfill his dreams. He gets shot in the stomach, classic Americana. And then, you know, he finds that runs up against a system late in his career that requires morally compromising to the point where he can't be the person he sees himself as. I thought that was a pretty cool ending. But yeah, 3.3, just a solid, good book to like give to like, I believe that this is like assigned to like high school students.
I'm pretty sure I got like a book that was a high schooler's or maybe like a freshman in colleges, because it's got all these like really basic notes. It's like, dude, like you know it's going to be you know it's going to be good when like the very first page says, it has a definition of symbol on it. Symbol.
Oh my god.
Concrete thing that represents an abstract idea.
That's thank awesome. You for the corroborating notes in that book. That's awesome.
That's
it's like
great.
A separate piece or something, you know? It's like your first foray into like the murky waters of like human behavior and like morality.
Morality
yeah, exactly.
And selfhood.
That book worked on me. That book fucked me up. A separate piece.
I should read that again. I remember really liking it back in the day.
But yeah, 3.3. You know, it's like it's pretty. It's fine. It's fine.
All right. Yeah.
3.3 is a great earned run average for a pitcher.
And that's
so.
I knew that. That's why.
Yeah.
True. That's why Matt did it.
5.0 would be terrible though. Garbage.
Right. It's
bad
like
pitcher.
It's the opposite. You want
like
it to be
golf.
Lower. It's like golf.
Yeah, like kidney filtration.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You want it to be, you want the number low?
Yeah, you want the number low.
Okay. Yeah, I think Matt's pretty, I think that's about right. I think I would give it in the low threes somewhere. It's not, yeah, it's not fucking great. It's not amazing. But I think the ending is excellent, as Matt said. And kind of this ties up nicely, this kind of like, impossibility of redemption for Roy, and he just kind of has to, you know, make his way in the rest of his life with this shame and knowing he'll never be able to do what he always wanted to do. I think, you know, there are some like a good sort of rule of thumb for me is like when I'm reading is how much stuff do I underline and dog ear? And I did very little of that in this book. I kind of just went through it. And there were some things that stuck out to me as memorable. I mentioned that scene with Memo driving, sort of like fanatically in the night, and that was good. But yeah, in general, like nothing like really stuck with me seemingly at the end of this. So I think, you know, I'm just going to say 3.3 exactly also. I think that's the correct score. I do want to read more Malamud. I want to sort of get a sense of how he explores some of these other things, themes that I sort of associate with him, or at least from reputation. But I think this was not probably representative of the thrust of a lot of the rest of his work, which I think I want to check out. So yeah, I think 3.3 is good.
Very good. Nice. I am, so I'm going to give this a perfect 3.0.
Nice.
Because it's a perfectly average book to me. I read it and I was like, one, the like, that whole last chapter, like, I feel like was very, very quick. Just like a quick success. There were just some weird like pacing things in this book for a book that's like supposed to be kind of paced around, you know, a season of baseball, more or less. It was just a little, I don't want to say like amateurish, but like, a little goofy, a little, I don't know, too playful. Paul was bringing something up about, it didn't, I think you meant it in the way, like, this isn't like an American folktale. Like, it's not, like, I would argue this is a great American folktale precisely because, like, Roy Hobbs is very much a shorthand that's used to this day in, like, baseball and MLB. Like, one of my favorite players of all time is Josh Hamilton, who was a former MVP from the Texas Rangers. And he had this, like, very Roy Hobbsian story where, but like he like had an injury and then he got into drugs and then, you know, he had like literal come to Jesus moment and got sober and then he came back and he was like the first overall pick, this highly touted prospect. And then he was out of baseball like 4 years later, strung out on crack cocaine. And then 4 years later, he was like the MVP or
cool,
whatever. And so, like, this book is, like, it very much is a folktale because, like, folktales are very, like, corny and kind of mid. Like, the actual story of John Henry, like, it's, like, kind of just a bit of a silly little story, a bit of a silly little, like, tall tale. It's trying to, I think there are some genuine attempts at... Another thing Paul brought up was how it gave him Gatsby vibes, and it gave me like Gatsby vibes too, because I think it's trying to work in that sort of lyrical register at certain points, or at least it's attempting to. I don't think it's as successful as Gatsby, but I do think that there's like it's trying to reach for many sort of great American things throughout it. And there are like a couple passages that amidst all the kind of ridiculous silliness of this book with, you know, possibly hitting someone with your car and all the weird, just slapstick level deaths. There are like some really, really nice passages, which I will be reading in the Patreon segment of the show.
Good
at
bait.
Least one. So Patreon. This is, come on, guys. Sign up for it. Two Bones. Dude, Spine Crack Boys.
Just don't buy that pack of Juicy Fruit this month.
Yeah.
Just sign up for the Patreon.
Man, it's been a long time since I've had Juicy Fruit. I should go get some.
Is that even gum anymore?
Yeah. It's not very juicy.
Hell yeah, dude. From the Wrigley Company, man. They still got a stadium.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't buy that pack of Big League Chew.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Don't sign up for DraftKings. Sign up for our Patreon.
Your parlay is not going to hit, you idiot.
No, it's not.
You're bad at sports betting.
Don't
I
listen to Kevin
you.
Hart. Don't
it's
listen
a disease,
to Kevin Hart.
And it's ruining a lot of people's lives.
I know, it's sick. And now it's like like actual colleges have like sponsored sports betting facilities at their stadiums now, which I find right, that's like actually disgusting. Insane.
That sucks.
I'll also say, just like as a final thought for me, as someone who is a fan of baseball, and like I do have a sense of like romance. I love going to the game and being.
It's hard not to be romantic about baseball.
I didn't really get much of that from this book at all. Like and I know that obviously Malamud is trying to like subvert the romance of the whole thing in a lot of ways is sort of his project. But like going back kind of, I think, to that sense of lack of place that we talked about earlier, like I never like felt the vibes of the stadium, you know? And again, maybe that's intentional, but I don't know.
Yeah. That was a factor in my thinking too. I did not grace baseball vibes. I love my baseball vibes.
Yeah.
First book, right?
It's no Moneyball is the thing.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Moneyball is great. I cry in Moneyball.
Really? That's like my favorite baseball movie.
Moneyball. It's really, really good.
Ooh, this is a good question. We should talk about this in the Patreon. What's our favorite? What are the best baseball movies?
Well, let's segue over.
Also, right, question and answers coming up in the Patreon segment.
Oh, we got some good questions today. So, yeah, by the way, yeah, if you are on the fence about joining the Patreon, you get a number of bonuses.
Ask them questions.
You get to submit questions that we answer.
They have to answer them.
Legally.
And yeah, new feature, you get to vote on the next book that Gabe and me is reading this year, which has been fun.
My choices have not always won, but I do like this new feature.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a new poll up now, so... patreon.com/spinecrackers. All right, Nate, where can the people find you? Let them know.
youtube.com/booksyouhaven'treadyou know, all the links are in the description boxes of me. Linktree, Nate Rankin, I don't know what it actually is, but my Linktree's in my YouTube descriptions.
We'll also put it in the description of this podcast.
There you go. See, friend me on Goodreads, friend me on Instagram, you know, just be social. Don't be weird.
What was your last video about on YouTube?
My very last video was about, I did a survey of four different books, from Deep Vellum Press, that were all by, basically what I termed poets in exile. So there was a Belarusian poet, a Uyghur poet, a Kurdish poet, and what was the other one? An Iranian poet. And so lot of their poetry all had to do with... it's the first ever poetry that I've ever done, so check it out. I'm doing a wrap-up video. That's getting uploaded soon. I'll have The Maniac by Benjamin Labatut recorded and uploaded soon, nice. Too.
Fuck
and
yeah.
Also, big project for the year, I am going to be reading Divine Days by Leon Forrest, the 1135-page masterpiece of 1960s Chicago.
Sheesh!
Whoa.
Damn.
That sounds fucking juicy as fuck. We had a rough go of it with our first try.
Yeah, it was not...
Oh, the Simic, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Not our finest hour, but...
I think you guys should keep trying.
I mean, I liked the poems, but I don't know.
You know what I thought would be like a good idea is like, I would be interested if you guys all kind of did like a poetry potluck episode where each of you just was like, hey, here's like four or five poems that I like am really into. They don't necessarily have to be by like
the same
guy or whatever, but just like let the people know like, what poetry vibes with you? Don't make it an assignment.
It could be a more.
What have you picked up in your travails?
That's a more like a cool idea, friendly like way. To
it
do
is
it.
A cool idea, but it is giving me assignment / homework vibes when I think about it.
Oh, that's true.
Well, so does this podcast. It's reading. You know.
All right. Well.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It is homework.
All right, Nate. Thank you for joining us. It's been lovely having you again.
Thank you.
And. We will see you, you know, just in a couple seconds for the Patreon segment. Everybody else, we will see on the next episode. Spinecrackers.
Bye.
Out.
I'm waving bye on the video, guys. Bye. Wave bye. Back. Wave at your stupid little radio, or however you're listening to this, your computer.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Do we pause the?